Hello and welcome. Millennials, or those born between 1980 and the mid-1990s, have become the largest and most educated population in the world. I'm Chubby Jerem Singh from the Money Mind team at CNA, and I'll be looking at the 5 things businesses need to know about winning over the millennial consumer. In 2020, around 1.8 billion people belonged in this age group. That's 23% of the global population, with 60% of them residing here in Asia. Millennials grew up in a world of disruptive technology and social media. And as consumers, they are reshaping the way businesses create products and services. By 2025, it's estimated that 75% of the global workforce will be represented by millennials. And as their earnings peak, businesses will do well to cater to this segment. Joining me now is Jörg Dietzel, adjunct faculty at SMU Lee Kong Chian School of Business, Althea Lim, Group CEO and co-founder of global digital talent agency Gush Cloud International, and Marcus Ho, Managing Director of digital marketing agency Brew Interactive. Welcome to the show, everybody.
Hello.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Let's kick off our discussion on winning over the millennial consumer. Jörg, why should brands target millennials?
Well, first of all, millennials are a huge group and they're getting into a mature age. Now, millennials are turning 40 this year, right? By definition, they're a group that is growing into prosperity. They are working, they're making good money most of the time. It's good for brands to connect to them because once they do that and once they build some kind of relationship, they will stay with them for a long, long time. What's the point in having some kind of luxury good and you target at high net worth individuals who are 65? They're not going to be around that much longer. So it makes much more sense to connect to millennials and make sure you include them with your brand and you grow together in a way. Second reason is they're also a little bit easier to reach than traditional target groups, because 10, 15 years ago, we had to go through newspapers, we had to go through TV, expensive, we had to go through outdoor. But millennials, to a big extent, can be found online. It's not for free, as many people think, but it has some impact on the budget as well.
Just to add on to York's point as well, if I could, Shelby. So millennials account to about 22% of the entire Singapore population. That's an awful lot of audience and opportunity, given that they have increasingly faster and higher purchase power, not only on the consumer side, as well as on the B2B side. If we look abroad in a lot of the emerging markets, such as Indonesia, Bangladesh, India, these markets are the next wave of Asia's growth. And if you're talking about millennials, they represent easily about 50 to 60% of their population.
Marcus, when you help companies go online, how important are millennials for that strategy?
Very important. It always forms a key component of the conversation. The Boston Consulting Group has actually done a study. Millennials are more likely to shop, dine, travel in groups compared to the other generations. That's just on the offline part. Now, on the online part, as millennials, we look onto social media for recommendations. We go onto Google reviews. So it's very important to know that when it comes to reaching out towards millennials, you are not usually engaging just one customer itself. You are usually engaging through one customer to maybe a pool of at least 5 people.
Althea, how do brands use influencers to reach out to millennials? And how important do you think influencers are for brands?
When it comes to reaching out to millennials, influencer marketing would be extremely important and possibly more and more important as the years go by. Just in Singapore, millennials did grow up in the years where their parents worked really hard, post-65. And so a lot of them grew up in families where their parents actually have cash and at least a housing asset. So because of that, they are willing to spend. So if you compare the millennials against the Gen Z crowd, they are a lot less discerning when it comes to spending money on brands comparatively to the Gen Z audience. Research has also shown that millennials tend to be a lot more loyal towards brands comparatively to even the Gen Z audience. Now, when we look at influencer marketing within the millennial audience, we really figured out that it's actually the young parenting group and the young family groups that do really, really well. A lot of like the group buying platforms that are happening now on the e-commerce space, they're all targeting the family audience because, as what Marcus mentioned, you get one, you get a lot more. And so from that perspective, we see a lot of the e-commerce platforms reaching out to specifically the young mommy audience, which is really in the millennial group itself.
Jörg, what do millennials value and what do they look for in brands?
In previous generations, all we were looking for was a good product for a good price. That's it. Maybe with a bit of extra value to it, some kind of status and all of that recognition. But how was it made? What's it made of? How did they treat their staff and everything? Nobody cared. That's the big difference in marketing to millennials, because they do care. So the image of that company needs to fit their own values. So they're looking for a company that is authentic, that is transparent, that stands for something. So if you're a cosmetics brand, you may not want to do animal testing. But if you don't do animal testing, you cannot sell in China, because it's a condition to be in that market. So you need to make some very hard decisions as a brand. But I think realizing that you need to have values, you need to stand for something, and you need to put your money where your mouth is.
Marketers or even brand owners may think, reach out to millennials, you have to spend big. It's quite the opposite, actually. You don't have to spend big. In fact, there are so many brands that are just born purely out of social media, like Daniel Wellington, the watch brand, The Ordinary makeup. They've reached out to millennials by relating to them. And I think that's a key component that millennials look after. Way too many brands, when it comes to trying to reach out to millennials, they tend to make the mistake of trying to put on a very polished front. If they're producing something on social media to engage the millennials, the copy has to be right, the grammar has to be 100% accurate. In my mind, that's foolish. You're Gen X trying to market to Gen Y by speaking in the lingo of Gen X. Millennials don't really care for perfectness or polishedness. They care about relatability.
It could even be the opposite, right? If it's too perfect, it's not authentic.
Exactly.
I align quite a lot with what both speakers have talked about. The first thing would be authenticity. And then the second one is brand story. The third thing is community, which I think is really important. What does the community say about that brand? And millennials really care about that. And actually, the fourth one is this word called FOMO. Millennials are very concerned, especially within the age group between like maybe 30 to 40, is that if my friends have that, I need to have that too, and I just need to try. In fact, when we run live commerce channels ourselves, and we see that as long as a group of people are questioning about the product, the sales just drive up within that same 2 minutes itself. But if nobody talks about it, then there's no sales. So the FOMO effect is very, very real.
In the pursuit of being less sleek, do you think then it will cost more for companies to reach out specifically to millennials?
Companies need to decide where they want to spend. In the past, when you spend on traditional media, you're already spending more. And today, digital media democratizes the entire spending, which means that you can actually spend less. But I think what's very important is that because now there are multiple channels to spend on and there are so many more touch points to spend on, what they really need to figure out is where they want to spend and how much they want to spend there. And they now need to think backwards in terms of what success looks like for them, which a lot of times the brand don't think about. When we ask a brand, is this campaign for awareness first or performance first? Sometimes the brand says both, but the truth is you can't have both.
Yeah, big mistake.
Yeah, so you need to say like, it's an awareness campaign and this is what success looks like for me, or this is a performance campaign first and this is what success looks like for me, because the touch points are now different.
Speaking of touch points, are there certain types of touch points that are most effective for reaching out to millennials?
The myth is there's only one touch point, which is digital for millennials. And I don't think that's true. I think, yes, for the majority, if you do digital, that has an impact on spending and all of that. But it doesn't mean that you can completely rule out more traditional channels. Why? Because if you look at A Day in the Life, then you find out, yes, there's a lot of online, but there's also transit, there's radio, there's lots of other things, there's streaming. So I asked my class, what is it? What kind of channels and everything? And they said, yes, of course it's online, but online can be boring because there's no surprise. So it's a whole different experience if you go to Amazon or to any of those websites and look for a specific book, or you go to Kinokuniya and you start browsing. So that kind of factor of surprise is sometimes not easy to replicate on an online platform. I think there's a focus on digital, but don't disregard all the other channels just yet.
Yep.
Exactly. Digital is a super important touch point as well as offline is. Now, in terms of channels, people may think, look, social media is the way to go. Immediate platforms that they'll go after would be probably like Facebook, Instagram, and so on. Well, truth bomb here, Facebook for a brand, if you're trying to get on it right now, you're out of luck. Instagram is too competitive. The right platform you truly want to engage millennials right now is none other than TikTok. And there's a lot of stats to prove around it. TikTok as it stands right now has about 800,000 monthly active users in Singapore. And the average time spent per session is 27 minutes. And plus, if you look at the stats of the number of times that they log into TikTok per 24 hours, what's been revealed is 5 times. So if you think about it, the average millennial spend about 3.4 hours per day. TikTok alone would easily take up quite a significant amount of time as well. And the way I see TikTok, I'm very, very optimistic about the future.
We're halfway into our discussion of the 5 things businesses need to know about winning over the millennial consumer. So far, we have learned that millennials are growing in prosperity, and when brands engage one millennial, they actually reach a bigger group related to the consumer. Second, millennials value authenticity and relatability when looking to support a brand. And third, digital is a key touch point, but millennials can be effectively reached using other channels. Marcus, you mentioned that we can find millennials on video sharing social networking services like TikTok, but how difficult is it for brands to build loyalty when it comes to millennial consumers?
I don't think it's difficult at all. Millennials don't really care for being too polished or being perfect. And this is the reason why so many millennials love to be on TikTok, is because they get to see a side of people that they've never seen before. Now, the only question is, are brands really willing to show that side that they don't really show publicly? I think that's a bigger question that they should ask themselves first.
Jörg, how loyal are millennials to brands?
I think they're very loyal. So they're very critical, and they would check with their peers, they would read reviews and everything. But once they have made that decision that yours is a brand that they want to have a relationship with, and if your touch points and your experience, your online convenience is supporting that rather than destroying that, then they're actually very loyal, because it's not easy to find the right match as a brand, the right match that gives the kind of product or service that I want, but it also has the same kind of mindset. There's a good chance, once we manage to win them over, if we don't do something completely stupid and very, very wrong, there's a good chance that they will stay with us for a while.
Althea, what role do influencers play to help brands build their loyalty?
I think the key word is trust, which I think is very important to developing loyalty from millennials, because I feel like the moment the brand doesn't build trust with their target audience, then that's where they would not perform well in that space at all. So we get the right influencers that align with the right story, that align with the brand values, to push that out on their Instagram platform. And this is where I think Instagram as a platform has really shone through. And I think the reason is because when the platform was first created, it was not created to be a commerce platform. And it was really created because they wanted people to be aspirational towards each other. And that's why aspirational content, the ones who put out the beautiful photos and the ones who write beautiful stories, are the ones who fundamentally win on a platform like Instagram. And so I think with trust and aspirational content, then that's where you can start thinking about building a community. And that's when the hashtag functions come about, because people all want to belong to somewhere, right? Especially at a time like this. And I think that's really what influencers drive in building brand awareness. It would be trust, creating the brand to be a little bit more aspirational, helping them to tell their story better. And the last one is to develop the community.
Talking about hashtags, let's talk a bit about hashtag the next big thing and millennials spending. Jörg, what would be the best forward-looking strategy to win over the millennial consumer?
I want to add 2 game changer, the next big thing. One is an area which Anthea just mentioned, which is building a community. A lot of millennials and other people too are looking for some kind of social activity, or is there any kind of rooting in local culture? Because I think that becomes more important as we are this kind of global society and community. There's this kind of anti-trend that, yes, we have globalization, but we also have a kind of going back to where am I coming from. I think the other one is even more important, which is O2O, online to offline. Because we are looking at online and offline as if they were kind of mutually exclusive, right? It's either or. They're kind of juxtaposed at 2 ends of the spectrum, which is not true, and which is not how millennials are looking at it. Because the way they are looking at it, it's one brand. It doesn't matter where they encounter the brand, whether it's online, whether it's offline. So slowly, brands are discovering maybe we can combine the two. people cannot travel, I can create an online experience for a cool beach bar in Rio de Janeiro, and people can virtually join the bar, but at the same time, ding dong, they get a courier bringing them the kind of drinks that I'm serving in the bar, so they can sit here, they can look at the screen, they can talk to other people, and they can zip the drink that is actually being offered.
I guess O2O is even more important now with the COVID-19 situation, especially with crowd restrictions and lockdowns. Marcus, what's the next big thing in your view when it comes to marketing to millennials?
I would think recommendation platforms would be huge across the next 2-3 years. Recommendation platforms such as Trustpilot, even our local finance community website Seedly. As for what I'm observing, they've been investing a lot into their recommendation platform. I think that's going to be a next huge thing because people are largely going to communities like that. The next other trend that's been emerging in the space on social media would be live commerce. I do think that's going to be huge. That's partly the reason why Clubhouse has gotten so popular. People want real-time interactivity, easy to buy, easy to find type of purchasing behavior. So these are two big channels I'll bet very big on.
Althea, what's the next big thing for influencers?
I think when it comes to brand marketing, US and China leads, but they lead it differently. US leads it in terms of brand and brand story, and China leads it in terms of the platforms. When you look at especially the luxury brands that thrive really well in the Western markets and you ask yourself, what is that game changer and how have they included all the influencers into their strategy? And it's exactly like what York say. It was about community marketing. It was about experience marketing. And it's about omnichannel strategy. If you look at a brand like LVMH and how they created their entire experience marketing, how they create their communities, how they use their sales associates to create even more communities, and then after that, doing the omni-channel strategy. And the reason why the omni-channel strategy is important is because offline serves as a space whereby they can let their customers experience the goods and be able to be part of the community. Yet at the same time, it's actually a customer acquisition model, whereby it has been proven that if you do well on the online space and you do even better on the offline space, the offline part actually decreases the cost per acquisition of a customer. Now, if you look at China, then it is really via the e-commerce platforms. I think the game changer in this part of the world will be led by also the e-commerce platforms. So if you have a brand that built communities on e-commerce platforms, then I think it's extremely important. And what that means is that maybe from a brand perspective today, instead of just thinking like holistically as a brand, you might want to be a little bit clearer. Either you want to be platform first or you want to be story first in that sense. And exactly like what Marcus said, would be live commerce as well. Because whether we like it or not, I think these would be the game changers in terms of like the platform marketing place.
So millennials are loyal customers. Once you gain their trust, and a combination of online and offline strategies will be most effective in targeting the millennial age group. That concludes our list of top 5 things you need to know about marketing to millennials. York, Althea, and Marcus, thank you very much for joining me in this podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening, and catch us again on the next 5 Things You Need to Know podcast by CNA's Money Mind team.